anything important at all about the body. The body, it certainly is the head, isn't it? I mean, we could lose an arm. The brother raised a question in the meeting before about certain ones not fulfilling their place actively in the body. The body's still carrying on, but the body couldn't carry on if the head was cut off.
Absolutely, that's the danger in Colossians, isn't it? The better rendering is the holding parts, the head. No doubt that the body can't lose its head from the divine angle, but from a practical point of view, we can lose contact with head.
We have received Christ Jesus as Lord. When your Lord learned the gospel sufficiently to know that was the sacrament to their salvation. They're on this lordship. Come into the circle of blessing. Well, he's about to assure them that he was the only one who could bring them into blessing and have thus received them as Christ Jesus the Lord. He also is the only one who can rightly sustain them in that circle of blessing if they are going to move intelligently and rightly for his pleasure.
Same thought in Colossians, the body uses a human body and uses a finger.
Well, it isn't so much pressed here as it is in perhaps Romans and Corinthians, the human body taken as a feature. Perhaps the assumption being that now that we reach in, we may say, growth in the knowledge of these things, in Colossians and Ephesians, as though we have learned now the truth so sufficiently, we don't need it any longer demonstrated. That's not quite the word I wanted. Sort of similar in the parable.
I always find that in the one of the verses where we come to it, but understand it in this way, that it's the head who is in the verse 18-19,
yes,
from which it could be the head of the human body. Rather the person which is set before us in chapter 1, that the person, and then it says of him, and he, that great person, is the head of the body, in chapter 1.
Yes, well, that's reaffirmed here, is it not? That while in chapter 1, as we often noted, it is brought in relation to his incoming into this world. It is reiterated again here, in regard to his presence in the glory, that in him bodily the fullness of the Godhead still dwells.
Is that something from which?
Yes. Yes, I know. From which, of course, perhaps is more correct grammar, as we say, but it is to call attention to the person, not only the office of head, but the person. The danger, apparently, in which the Colossians were at that moment, was in thinking there were certain things apart from Christ that were going to be ahead of him into a better understanding of this divine circle. Hence, as we know, we have four distinct warnings. One we didn't read, it begins in verse 4, but we do have four distinct warnings against certain things that are going to rob us of the privileges we have in moving past ahead.
Caution truth, as you put it just a moment ago, let no man lead you. That is the original idea I just now.
What do you mean by rich and Colossian truth?
Well, our brother stated that they had got to such a point that we don't get the same detail here as we had in the scripture we were looking at yesterday with regard to the members of the body.
Need to read it again. You distinguish by this, as you have said, that our previous consideration in Roman events hasn't been the teaching in connection with the head. But now we have come to the teaching in connection with the head. Because the mystery mentioned here, we have to consider the mystery without the body.
We might just that, oh, there's no harm in just stating it, that the mystery here is not the mystery of Christ, it's the mystery of God. And it probably helps in what might be a difficult point that the very last statement we read in verse 19 is the increase of God. We might have expected there the increase of Christ, but no, it's the increase of God, because in this section it's the mystery of God.
Isn't that
Yes,
really
the mystery.
The
seer would you say did them? Because the only word they got afterwards is the one that the Lord gave in Revelation.
And this epistle was the one badly needed amongst them, wasn't it?
When putting just before that story in verse 2.
There's two references to Laodicea and this one there. And if Laodicea comes in, there's also a twofold reference to combat. So it would seem that these dangers aren't just out of interest, but as very practical living dangers which affect the church, particularly in Laodicea times. The truth is just exactly given to the need of the day.
Well, the antidote to these things, the ramifications of the difficulties that as young men, perhaps some of us have tended to do in our day. We're talking about that in our reading strikingly just a week ago from Mark 3:4. But rather to be nurtured up in the truth is the way one will guard us and preserve us against these dangers. And then the immediate plungers is probably the greatest statement of the greatness of the head, if not about the greatest statement of the greatness of Christ in the New Testament, that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead among men. I think most of us know that this is the only place we have this particular word where Godhead. The idea of bodily being added in is a contrary point that Christ was still subsisting in manhood and in the form of a man in the glory. There was no doubt about it when he was in the world. That's chapter 1. There may have been a doubt about it now that he's gone to glory, but that doubt would be dispelled in a verse like this. He's still subsisting in the form of a man in heaven.
Otherwise, you couldn't continue and hear complete in heaven.
This word complete is the word for all that we were speaking about on Saturday night in our first reading, in the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Actually, the two words are the same. The same word for the fullness of the Godhead is in verse 10, ye are filled in him. Same words.
John uses the same word fullness because he was entering the world.
Yes. Well, we were trying to suggest just the other night, Mr. King, that we mustn't think every word the term fullness it means the same thing. Because there it says, of his fullness have we all received. We'll never receive of this fullness. Thank God we receive of the one who has this fullness, but this is the fullness of Godhead.
But it's God in an absolute sense. The man in the glory isn't only divine, and we know he is that, but thanks be to God, absolute is there, the energy is all that's in a man bodily. That's where the theological battles of the ages have
every attribute and every resource of Godhead is in him and becomes available to guide the body.
We need above all principality and authority. We need not fear men.
That would include the devil from the devil downward, would you?
And notice that might and dominion is left out here.
It's the heavenly side of things as we have seen. Is the danger in Colossians, and what probably the apostle tells us as spiritual wickednesses in the epistle to the Ephesians. It's the heavenly side of things that is here, having in view again the idea of the worshipping of Israel. Hey, of all things of melody and power. We know I can say together that the image of Christ is presented in a distinctive way in the scriptures, and perhaps they are all summed up as an eighth one if you like, but I rather think it's the summing up of the seven, the head. but I'm not a moron.
There's two words you use to get it first.
Yes. Assuring us that there was probably the danger of searching into these realms, dimly though they could have understood it, as being something greater than what is earthly, spiritual and heavenly, that we thought maybe was going to be a great help to them and the understanding of these things. And maybe the enemy was trying to lead them on the line. Lead you with prayer. Lead you with prayer.
And really, it would be taken them below the dignified place in which they had been set, even to be occupied with angelic beings, wouldn't it? Because here's one that he presented to them, who is their head, the one in whom all the force of the Godhead dwells. And that's the world from which all of us receive our resources and knowledge, and all that we are holding us together as the saints of God.
Did you say that this was the answer to the danger of the loss of the belief in them?
Well, I thought it was to the enticing words coming down and they came.
The answer number one.
Yes, I thought so. Yes. That is, we are complete in him. We don't need anybody to come up with a species idea of some system of knowledge and things like that. We are complete. In him. It's for rudiments of the world connected with philosophy that bring us to bury within. Rudiments of the world you left the scene altogether buried within.
If we drew on a little parallel from what we had yesterday, opened it from Ephesians, that we wouldn't be carried about with every kind of doctrine. If we got the benefit of the gifts that have been given to the assembly, and the teaching coming to us is proof against these things.
You understand verse 1 that I say this. So the person was going to say, I'm not interested.
Well, partly to what even this I say, I was only throwing out that suggestion. When we do come down to the head, all things are said about him, as we said in these prepositions. And one has looked over the four dangers therein, and showing how each one meets the difference, and would bring us from.
It's all a suggestion. A certainly there's a that in the epistle, where the danger comes from these Gnostics, these knowing people, the word used for knowledge is gnosis, and the antidote that the apostle always brings in is epignosis, the full knowledge, which necessarily leads you to God. It's this powerful word, epignosis, which is always brought in this epistle.
You may remember last year in discussing the ark, we suggested that not only do the covenant overlaid with pure gold, and that the Son of God must be God if he's going to present God to man. But I think we suggested in the vessels, though they were not part of our meetings, and then since the gold and all dead, pure gold. And in the table, pure gold. In the lampstand, pure gold. That on the line of approach and support, it is just as necessary that he should be God. Hence, he will be minded. Not only God in bringing God to man, it's of necessity that he's God in sustaining man in relation to God.
Even the ark. May the wood obey the doors of the man who brought God to man.
I think the side you're pressing is man being taken to God.
For instance, he is the head, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I think we call it three messes for the priest, the Son, consecrated of all, and for the Lord, Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. These things are emphasized.
There's a nice thing suggested here too, isn't there? He's found in it. We receive Christ Jesus the Lord, but it's a question of sitting down and resting on our laurels, because the people can very likely come along at that moment. But if we are abounding in thanksgiving, in the place of blessing into which we have been brought and advancing. It's then that we raise these people up with.
Yes, right. Don't you think, Mr. Day, bringing in of this word thanksgiving is very interesting? Having met with this epistle quite recently in the life of 2 Timothy Day's difficult time. It's remarkable how the deficiencies so apparent in 2 Timothy, for example, I'm thankful, have counted an epistle like this with a constant emphasis upon the things that are missing in 2 Timothy Day's. There are quite a number of references in this epistle to thanksgiving as being in a letter of sin day, a needful word for our hearts in an ungrateful day and generation. I am glad to see the line on which the apostle does more here. He presents the most plain thing in regard to Christ's complaint in him before so Christ has dealt with these negative things. It only bears out what we have said, that he doesn't begin to realize the bad things and the contrary things. He first of all makes a statement of what is positive for him, then he deals with these negatives as to how the death of Christ has ended every one of them.
Never arrive at positive things in Christianity by the negative one, not that. But the other way about it is being, yes.
So he says, in whom also, yes, you don't believe in him. But then what about these other things that will activate us or hinder us? Well, no, there's also this. Ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of God. In other words, he's freed us from the old man.
It is.
But it's the end of the old man alive, but he would have experienced putting off of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
The man of the flesh was the one who rejoiced in tradition and philosophy.
It was earthly in its elements, you see, yes, rudiments of the world. But
what do you mean by the circumcision of the flesh?
Well, it's dealing here with the flesh, the body of the flesh. And circumcision was given to before the birth of Isaac, so much so that Scripture speaks not about Isaac as was born according to spirit. It's the complete end of that fleshly order, man in the flesh, in relation to God, and circumcision.
In his death.
In his death, oh yes, in his death, cut off.
Completely.
Nothing at all. And judicially, in the judgment of God, he brought that man to an end.
That's why he says, buried with him, raised with him,
oh yes, and quickened with him. That's the way we go on, you see, as a consequence.
And he says nothing at
all. It begins with this positive word of Christ and our apprehension of it. Circumcision means it was made with hands in Abraham's day. Whatever we get the statement without hands in the new or in any part, it means God has done it, not man. And if God has brought to an end the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ, the next thing then, I'm going to leave the world with, buried with him by baptism. that in chapter 1 we put off the old man when we believe the gospel. That is, it's an act of faith. We put it off by faith. Then we put it off by profession when we submit to the waters of baptism. But in the third chapter, we put them off in practice when we walk in the power of the new. That seems to be the run of the three chapters. Now, here it's in profession we put them off. If we be circumcised objectively in the circumcision of Christ, I can answer to that movement in this typical way, very within my bounds. Well, that's then the next thing comes out here, isn't it? That if the history has closed, in regard to one circle of things, man's world, it's only that it might be opened up in another circle of things, Christ's world.
Why didn't you say God's world?
Well, why can't we do? I was only holding on to the head here for the moment.
Oh,
I say God's world, never
heard. I just thought you might have a special reason.
That's the special reason I said it, because just to keep the head before us and always with him, ready.
I understand.
In the other world, my number is flesh of everything. In this world, Christ is everything. I just want to have in mind. But of course, it is God's world.
When it's a house, it's God's house. When it's the body, it's Christ's body. The operation of God, but it's raising Him from the dead.
It was identification with Him, but I was keeping in mind. Well, here goes in verse 11. And the Jordanites, of course, in verse 12, we have to reverse them again.
I suppose that if we apprehend the new Jordan and new law, when we are launched into the land, it's a question of the individuality of the believer being merged into it.
Yes. Well, you just have to say what you mean by Gilgal and Jordan.
Well, after the children of Israel, you cross the Jordan to Gilgal. And that's where it says, make unto you, unto you, sharp knives, and the children of Israel, again. They hadn't been circumcised in the wilderness. Again, guy, hear me. If they're going to take possession of the inheritance, they're not going to obtain it in the power of the land.
That's where the stones were, and the children were going to say, what are these for?
That's where the that is in John. And isn't it said, too, concerning you, Lord, that the reproach of Egypt was rolled away. Now, lower down the chapter, quiet as if alive in this world, as you did. The question of which world is living in this world? Either this world or Christ's world. The reproach of Egypt is rolled away in this world. We are truly, truly delivered and went to a new world together with Him.
Jordan. Well, isn't that the thought of baptism in verse 12? Buried with him, unrisen.
That's my idea.
Yes, I think so. I doubt, you know, if resurrection is connected with the Red Sea at all, in thinking it of time, as one has been looking these things out. Buried, yes, but it does seem you need both the Red Sea and the Jordan to get at these two. Resurrection puts them in a completely different position in relation to God. It's not quickening, that comes in again as another thing. Resurrection and quickening are not the same. One puts us into the new place, the other gives us the power to live in the new place. We are new life in relation to the new place.
You'd say briefly, you know, said the Lord, that in the Red Sea, that's Christ's death for me, but in Jordan, my death with Christ.
It was the rod of Moses, you remember, the Red Sea, and after Marham. It was the ark that kept the waters of Jordan association with Christ, and here it is with him. They went with him in the Red Sea. They were with him in the Jordan. The ark of the covenant was there.
And the children of Israel had to return constantly, hadn't they, in their experience of Gilgal, which indicates that we must constantly revert to the fact that God has gone in the cross.
Yes. And admittedly, in the apostle writing this epistle, he was bringing them back again to Gilgal.
That's what he had resorted to. Yes, the man of the big dagger doesn't ignore the fat man.
And then being dead, he said, as far as God was concerned, we were completely dead to the sins. Or pronounced any dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, while you return to the rest and put in a new position, we need new life and to live there. Very well, we've been quickened together and given us association with him.
Thank you.
Is obviously putting us, it's a spiritual thing. Moral thing can't be physical. Raising is happening all the time. God has put us in a completely new position and given us a new power of life to live there.
This truth is only learned in Christ.
Yes,
well, that's exactly what he has done in Christ. Circumcision is what he did in Christ. And so the traits are so closely identified as they are the place and position in the place where Christ actually took.
See, what the Lord amplified, I think, going from John 5 to John 11, where I was quoted from, was not only that he would raise, he could resurrect. And this is in John 11, not I am the raising, I the resurrection of the life, and he passes over the grave. That to amplify it, Mrs. Park. The key of the raising is obvious, then, and having put us into a completely new position, in attachment to Christ in the glory, and given us a new power of life by quickening us, that we might live there.
That life, that new life, of
yes.
Dr. Lee said that we can only live to God in the life of Christ. That's the teaching of the
Scriptures. And I hadn't thought before, I never thought when I got out to give that little simple word last night, about the letting it dawned on me why we've been together all day today, and probably not one of us have thought about the leaven. Look at since we've got together here this afternoon. I'm sure I've never thought about it. We've been thinking all together of this realm which has brought us as though the leaven didn't exist. Grand to be away from it, isn't it? We realize and persuaded at times like this what it is to be quickened together with him. Here we are, as it were, living in that circle as we talk about it.
Is this the 17th of John?
Big chapter, you know, Mr. Lee, the 17th of John. No, no, the 17th of John.
Listen. Thou hast given in power of all flesh that he should give eternal life to his memory of him. And this is the remarkable thing, the only true God, and Jesus Christ.
Yeah, your occasion again, sovereignly by the Son of God, of eternal life. Specifically then, carrying the full knowledge of divine persons.
Into the circle.
You ought in the circle, indeed, yes, yes, it might.
And you talk about the vessel that draws in that life. That is the body.
I think that's what we're trying to reach on to, if we can just get along with it.
And I think in connection with what Herbert has just said in regard to that life being in fact, why do you keep him with the vessel since the spirit is all in one thing? Try to remember to do in the body as in the body.
That's right. Yes. And then he runs on in the next few verses. If we're going to get under the head, I'm afraid we'll have to jump rather briefly. Blotting out the handwriting of all. It says, the whole detail of the law, I suppose not really of this, is the handwriting of the ordinances. You remember, Moses was not only given two tables, he wrote a book. He wrote a book. And all of the divine system of Israel under the law, the ordinances were all against us, contrary to us, and the result is he completely removed it, nailing it to his cross. Because it was in those very ordinances, you remember, cursed be the one that hangeth upon a tree. And he took, we might say, of those very ordinances in his application to him when he was nailed to the cross and ended up at that moment. As we are concerned, not only that, but he did conflict with the principalities and authorities. Again, something we have to honestly admit we know little about. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Here it is. He spoiled, or he stripped, is the word, these principalities and authorities of all their power.
So you know they were all there.
Right.
When the Lord died.
Yes.
I'm reminded of an expression from Mr. MacGrew in connection with this. He used to say, he drew them into open conflict. He took the initiative and drew them into it. It's just the other side to normal concept of the cross. The Lord is a victim.
secret in the tomb, but while publicly manifested and openly, he led them in front by it.
In what way was it publicly? Because not to any one believer.
Well, this time I think refers to the actual hanging upon the cross. And apparently there was something there that we don't normally see him overcoming the opposition of dealing with the question of sins. Some attack by these angelic, fallen angelic beings, and at that position when Christ was crucified, he publicly triumphed over them in it. The end, I think, is by the cross. Not by his death or his resurrection.
But the principalities perhaps suggest that was heavenly, and the authorities that which was earthly.
Well, no, I think, Mrs. Dougherty, you remember, well, that we look at it and you'll see it at once, in chapter 1, verse 16. For by him are all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, first the visible, whether they be thrones or dominions, visible, or principalities and powers, invisible. I think there were reasons.
You think you get a little picture of the triumph of the Lord Jesus on the cross when he said to the guy, this day shalt thou be in paradise. Well, quite evidently, he was so in command of the situation, the Father's prayer having been answered, but he was able, in the consciousness of victory, to promise entry to paradise the night of the
oh, yes, that of course is true. This verse,
do you think that it was apparent that he was trying
to fight?
Apparently, it would seem that everything was defeat. But this is a definite statement that we are told now by the Spirit of God. What would he do if he, even in the midst of all that he thought that they were triumphing.
He puts it by weakness and defeat, that's what you mean. But when they couldn't even approach when 2,000 Hebrews off, what he would have been of the minister, not only that, he goes, there are camps speaking of it, goes through the other side, and from that the first obstacle in the way was the stronghold of the principalities and powers, evil ones that we see in Ephesus.
Yes, and the whole point here is, I think, there's something that we don't understand, but this way, perhaps the greatest thing that ever happened in this world was to get Christ crucified. And the Jews thought it was the greatest success for them too, but that's on the earthly side, because God himself had said, cursed be every man that hangeth upon a tree. And the devil, having got him there, committed mortal suicide. For every bit of power that the devil had upon man, at that moment upon the cross, Christ ended it forever. And I was reminded us of the statement of Mr. Ambrose, in all the conflict with them, something happened there where the devil and all his agencies were overthrown forever.
And the Lord drew them into the open
court. Well, be that
the Father, that he took all the situation and drew them into open conflict. The Lord was never in doubt after the issue, even when he went to the cross.
Now, following on what you suggested, I think about that, going round the walls of Jordan, here it is, Jericho, here it is coming in for us now, because they stood in association with it, didn't they, when the walls came down. It was to take them in that opposition.
What you get in the 69th Psalm, to the principalities of power, the bulls of Basin, which has it that spiritual thought?
Well, the bulls of Basin, I think, were the leaders of the nation. But as you think of that, Mr. Nixon, probably going back to Psalm 22, you would get it. You remember the power of the dog that we apprehend was saving themselves out of the dung.
What is said in regard to the cross, that in it, they said, we have a law, God-given law, and that's the Gentiles, again, instrumental in it,
that we remind ourselves again, it's not his enemies on earth, it's the spiritual beings that have set themselves to him to the accomplishment of the purpose of God. That this one in his wonderful triumph, he's done battle with them, and he's stripped them of all their power forever. And of course, in its application now, that the real name is open to lead us on and modify him into possession of the divine inheritance. We know that Ephesians opens that out in its fullness, but this is the road to it.
You know, say that's what Peter says, when he says, God in his power has given us all things, but life and love.
Yes, well, everything's available that we might come out for the pleasure of God now in this world.
Then again, in Peter, the great rendering who is the right hand of God, the angels of God was in powers, are subjected to him. And to keep him the bishop.
It is, yes. That's why we suggested by now that out of seven distinct things that are said about the headship of Christ, it's every principality and authority that is known here. There's only one greater than that that I'm aware of, which will come before us tomorrow. He tells us about these other things. They were only a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. We don't arrive at these things through types and shadows. We arrive at them as being associated himself. I know there's a lot of dispute about this affair of the shadows. But try as I can, I can't fit that into this verse. It doesn't fit at all as well as I can see.
In other words, the of here is there, but
I'm sure it is. Sure it is. The body is of Christ, that is, it derives all its life and all its being from Christ himself. Surely the previous verse have taught that.
Well, I don't think you can understand verse 19 if you don't give it that application.
Wrong. I think we ought to join on, and I will ask you a minute. That incision not only why he tells of the personal greatness of the head, and then along with that, the wonderful things that the head has done, is in the contemplation. Now he says in relation to such a person, our mission or our privilege, if you like, is to walk fast there. I put it positive way, we know he is put negatively.
If the hypocrisy is not called in their head, isn't said to be a fault of the Colossians, yeah, but said to be a fault of the false teachers.
Yes, yes, quite, quite.
Michael, might not have been true that the Colossians weren't holding their head. The teachers of others were clear that weren't holding their head.
And of course, the subsequent thing was going to be, if I'm going to be led by these men, I'll be found not holding the head. The idea of a head is to never attempt to move or never attempt to grow or anything at all at times apart from realizing Christ is the one that will guide me and help me in its accomplishment.
It says here from the universal in the aspect of the before.
Well, I think it's the body universally all right, the whole body, every single in the whole wide world.
The body is never considered as for heaven, it's always on earth, isn't it?
Seems to be, yes, right.
Mark, do you think that again lends force to the teaching of this epistle to the Ecclesia? These Gnostics were deriving everything not from Christ at all. In accordance with the third revelation, Christ was out. But in contrary position is to have this blessed one to be deriving everything from him, holding fast the head.
Nothing was the contrary to this.
Well, this is the epistle, of course, that gives the glory to the head.
In
the epistle, you will better pull the outline of these things before us in the red chapter 1.
Yes.
Yes.
It is.
The man with him who was the head of the church, who we have to hold, but you
is God himself. These are the words about united, Lucifer was united together by the church and the animals, and that's how it
nourishment minister, which
we pray, gets to the
verse. It's the increase in here, it's the increase of God. But it does seem to suggest that in the various movements in God, we may for the help and encouragement of each other, again, having nourishment, support, minister. For a man, that which moves or that which binds together, as the living function, so you're a joint and I'm a man. When you make that little joint to help me as a joint, that little movement, you derive something from the head, you pass it on to me. I'm a man deriving something from the head and I pass it on to you. There is only you and I, with all the rest of us, as we each make the movement all together, we're going to be all bound together and all have nourishment, all need to keep going.
And God uses the size that holding things together.
Yes, but there does seem to be the point here that if everyone held fast the head, there would be such a manifest unity that it would be obvious that Christ was the one that was holding them.
Keep in mind, the man would be saying Christ. That would be setting forth Christ here. And it happened.
Yes. Oh yes, it would be, but it brings us back to the statement we referred to before. It increases with the increase of God. I am a servant, one has been arrested at looking at. And again, I can see just this other distinction in the Colossians from Ephesians, that here again is the display of God that is in you, whereas in Ephesians, the display of Christ. But not you. Christ has come to come out and testimony in our life as this is going on. But it does seem as though there is growth in the divine nature, and certain divine coming to light of the saints, and the movement is helpful and in a divine way.
When it talks about being knit together, would it express any forms of love for you?
I'm sure it would, yeah. Just a little bit stronger than being stuck together, isn't it?
God
may
have a relation doesn't he?
Oh, yes.
Going by the true knowledge of God, and we get the mystery of God, we are the increase of God.
Yes.
We have God, verse
12, you know, one can't help appreciating these little things like knit together. How often, you know, your own extreme disgust. We told us this morning about Mr. Bassel and Ross Trimmer. And from the first moment, we knew that he's a man. He's a man that we belong to him and he belongs. You know, in your own town, or even moving away from your town. Two of our friends met two girls on the train, speaking to them. The friends of my little brother. It's the whole body universally. You know, these things do come to light in spite of the ecclesiastical distinction right on the surface. On the surface. There is that God that's only on the surface of things, it's not the thing itself.
I'm just wondering if we're not back in words.
Well, I'm wearing, yes, I'm within the evening. That's what I was saying just in this word, in referring to it. I actually can't even mind with that. We've stressed these other things to show that obviously the thing is there.